Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It might come as a surprise to some of you folks, but I find preaching on Thanksgiving to be one of the most difficult preaching assignments of the year. I mean, other than saying we ought to be thankful, what else is there to say? No, I'm not going to close the sermon out at this point. But right there's the problem, don't you think? Thanksgiving. That is a genuine expression of gratitude. It can't be commanded. It's like your mom, after you forgot to say thank you, prompting you with that oh-so-patient, "You're welcome." Sure, you say thanks, but it just doesn't quite mean the same, does it? I can't say I've got this whole Thanksgiving thing down or figured out, but I think there's a few cues in the story that Luke tells about the 10 lepers. That is often a reading for Thanksgiving Day. Most of us are probably familiar with the story. The 10 lepers are healed. One returns, and it's a Samaritan, no less. Okay, so one way to approach this passage is to lift up the Samaritan as an example. The one who stops dead in his tracks and returns to give thanks to Jesus, a despised Samaritan. Trouble is, most of us hate examples like this because it just makes you feel guilty, doesn't it? How do you feel when your arch enemy turns out to be more grateful for God's blessing than you do? Feel the guilt? What's more interesting, I think, is the fact that all 10 were healed. All 10. Even the 9 that didn't return to say thanks. So what made the Samaritan different? He noticed. He noticed. And that's pretty much it. I think his response was inevitable, if not involuntary. I mean, once you notice something happening spectacular, it's hard not to say something. I don't know if you all watch this show on TV called The Voice. It's a show that Marty likes to watch. I just happened to walk in when she was watching it. But they asked two of the contestants that were on the chopping block if they had anything to say if they were sent home that night. But to a person, all of them vocalized how much they appreciated the opportunity to perform on that stage. They poured out their gratitude to the celebrity stars who took them under their wing and coached them through the process. To use another example, what does one say when your doctor says to you, "I've got good news, your cancer's in remission"? Thanks to God and my doctors didn't seem good enough. I think it was like that for the Samaritan. Once he had realized he had been healed, he couldn't help but stop dead in his tracks, turn around, and share his joy and thanksgiving with Jesus. Thanksgiving is like that. When it's genuine, it's spontaneous, even involuntary. You recognize you've been blessed and can't help but sharing your joy through thanksgiving. So the Samaritan turns back to say thanks. He knows he's been given a gift and can't stop himself from turning around to say something. And in doing so, he received a second gift. As he leaves his encounter with Jesus, not only healed, but also blessed. How? Blessed in his own recognition of healing? Blessed in being drawn into a deeper relationship with the one he's thanking? Blessed at hearing himself commended for having a strong faith. All this healing and blessing came totally unexpected. Imagine the difference that it made in this Samaritan's life. He's commended by a Jewish rabbi for having great faith. Faith sufficient to bring about healing. Oh, the other nine were healed too. But look what they missed out. They lost out in a relationship that the Samaritan received from Jesus and also his commendation. That's the way Thanksgiving always works. In giving thanks for a gift given, we are blessed again. Most of us have been surprised, at least I hope you have, by a gift of grace so large and magnificent that Thanksgiving begins to just pour out all over you. Sometimes you feel a little bit awkward in giving it, but the giver sees the gratitude, no matter how clumsy the words. The recognition of an authentic response is always received. I see the bigger problem in all this is noticing. For those who have eyes to see, God's blessings are all around us. And as we give thanks for those blessings, we notice even more and are blessed yet again. A simple word of gratitude opens us up to the world of abundance, mercy, and grace. It may seem like a very small thing, noticing and thanking, but it's the first step to setting in motion a cycle of gratitude and grace. Gratitude and grace. Gratitude and more grace. Let me tell you what I've noticed over my 25 years here at Blessed Savior. There are a lot of people here who model our congregation's theme, which is to love God and to love your neighbor. I've lost track of the number of times you have given loving support to me and my family. In regard to our shared ministry at Blessed Savior, you have helped out in so many ways. Granted, some folks work in very visible ways, while others in ways more hidden from our eyes, but no less significant in the view of our all-seeing God. The time and talents you offer day in and day out are manifold in scope and generous to a fault. When there is a need, someone is almost always there to jump in. I'm thankful for how you assist others with your talents, whether it's fixing computers, helping with a maintenance problem that someone's having at home, raking leaves for those who cannot, visiting the sick, delivering food for our members in need, and supporting the grieving with your cards, your calls, and your care in a spirit of gentleness and love. Outside these walls, you've supported orphans in Central America, given school supplies to our local public school teachers, delivered between 50 and 72 large Thanksgiving food baskets annually, and supported foster kids during the Christmas season. And it wasn't always those that you knew. Many times you gave to complete strangers through our Elders Benevolence Fund. I get letters all the time from people and agencies who are thankful because you remembered them in their time of need. And if you watch that board out there in the foyer, you'll see those notes of thanksgiving. I'm posting them all the time. You might take a look. All these responses from a grateful people who have learned the secret of noticing what God has done through his Son, Jesus. It's not always easy to see the power of his forgiveness, But the response I've seen over these 25 years tells me that in a thousand ways, you have noticed God's forgiving healing. And you've responded in ways that keep our church in that cycle of gratitude and grace upon grace upon grace. Well, I've told you what I'm thankful for. And sometimes I do this, sometimes I don't. I know we're a little small, so don't feel bad if you don't want to say anything, but I wanted to give you an opportunity to express your thanks to God for his many gifts. I realize that I've probably been talking for the last 12 minutes or so. I'm going to ask you to keep yours down to like 30 seconds. But if you'd like to, I would like to give this opportunity to you. Would anybody like to express their thanks to God? Yeah, there's a lot to be thankful for, and I think we've just witnessed a small portion of what's gone on in our neighborhood, in our community here at Blessed Savior. And I want to thank you for this, you know, really unplanned and spontaneous gratitude. Thank you for noticing the spiritual healing that you've received from the Lord himself as you receive that forgiveness during confession and absolution, and also during the Lord's Supper as we receive his body and blood given for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for turning to him to thank him and praise him. From the story of the Samaritan leper, you can be sure of our Lord's commendation. Your faith has made you well. May your Thanksgiving gatherings be a time of blessing and oneness with God and with each other. In Jesus' name, amen.